So today we're going to discuss a very, I didn't intend, but I guess it's very apropos in terms of Yom Yerushalayim. We're going to discuss the concept of Nuchamas Mitzvah, Midina de Gemara, and how it applies Bizman Hazeh in terms of the wars in the state of Israel. So it came up earlier in the week, or the beginning of the end of last week, the Mishnah and Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis listed off all the various people who are putter from going out to war. A person who gets married, a person who builds a new house, a person who is scared, or did Averos, Machlokas Tanaim, all the various people who are either exempt from going out to war or will send them away if they came out to battle. So the Mishnah on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis listed all of those people. Now, the Mishnah qualifies that and says, when do we say those people are exempt from war? That's only when it comes to a Milchamas Mitzvah. A Milchamas Rishus, I'm sorry. However, when it comes to a Milchamas Mitzvah, when it comes to a war, which is a Mitzvah, so then we say Hakol Yosin. So you take a look in Source 1, the Lashon of the Mishnah is Bamed Dvar Mamurim. Welcome. So the Mishnah says Bamed Dvar Mamurim Bil Milchamas Rishus. When do we say those, all those people listed in the Torah and in the Mishnah, that they're allowed to go back home and don't have to come out to war? That's when it comes to Milchamas Mitzvah. Aval b'Milchamas Mitzvah, Hakol Yotzen Afilu Chasan Mechedro, the Kala Mechupasa. Even a Chasan who just got married, a Kala who just got married, they're supposed to go out to war. We'll discuss Kala later on. And Rabbi Yehuda seems to argue, and he says, "Bamed var mamurim b'Milchamas Mitzvah, b'Milchamas Chova, Hakol Yotzen Afilu Chasan Mechedro, the Kala Mechupasa." So at first glance, we have a machlokis between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda, but the Gemara says, "Really, not so fast." They're not really arguing. Everyone agrees that when you have a war like the war of Yoshua ben Nun, who conquered Eretz Yisrael, that was a bona fide Milchamas Mitzvah, according to everyone. And you have a war like David, who was trying to expand the borders of Eretz Yisrael, trying to expand beyond the natural borders of Eretz Yisrael, the borders that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised. That's a Milchamas Rishus, according to everyone. The Machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, the Gemara says in Source 2, is Lemu'ute Ovdei Kochavim de Lolesi Alayhu. If you want to weaken the enemy to prevent them from attacking, that's a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether we'll call that a Milchamas Rishus or a Milchamas Mitzvah. Everyone, yes, exactly. So I'll come to that in a second. Exactly. So it's true. Rabbi Yehuda thinks that only something that's which is a Milchamas Chova do we say that everyone goes out to war. Milchamas Mitzvah, he thinks the people don't go out to war. But it's semantics. The Gemara says it's really semantics between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether we call something a Mitzvah or a Rishus. But just to keep things simple for now, we're going to assume that there are two categories. Just to keep it simple, there are two categories. There's a Milchamas Rishus and there's a Milchamas Mitzvah. And then there's a Machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether this war, which is to weaken the enemy to prevent them from attacking, do we categorize that as Milchamas Rishus or Milchamas Mitzvah? The Gemara has a nafkamina about Osik Mitzvah, Patr Mina Mitzvah. We're not going to get into that for now, but for now we're just going to focus on this idea that you have a war that is to weaken the enemy. According to the Chachamim, we'll categorize that as Milchamas Rishus, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, we'll categorize that as Milchamas Mitzvah. So the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim, Perkei Halacha Aleph, writes as follows in Source 3. The Rambam here is discussing all of the different types of halachos of the kings and battles. So says the Rambam, Ein hamelach nilcham tchila el milchamas mitzvah. A king is only allowed to wage a war first if it's going to be a milchamas mitzvah. He can't start off his kingship with waging battles which are milchamas rishus. He has to start with a milchamas mitzvah. So what's a milchamas mitzvah? So says the Rambam, Veizohi milchamas mitzvah, zo milchamas shiva amimim. So one type of milchamas mitzvah is destroying, killing the seven nations, driving them out, who resided in Eretz Yisrael. Obviously, the Rambam writes later on, that's not relevant b'zman hazeh because the Shiva Amimim don't exist anymore. And Milchamas Amalek. Says the Rambam, another type, the second category of Milchamas Mitzvah is Milchamas Amalek, waging war against Amalek, which also, we'll discuss, may not exist b'zman hazeh. Ve'ezras Yisrael miyad tsar sheba aleihem. And says the Rambam, saving Klal Yisrael from oppression, from oppressors. And then after that, he can wage Milchamas Rosh Hashanah, says the Rambam. So what's Ezras Yisrael Miyatzar Shebaleim? What's that referring to? So there are two questions that the Achronim deal with. What exactly is the Rambam referring to? And what's his source? So you may say, oh, isn't the Rambam referring to when the Gemara said, Lema'ute ovde kulchavim do lo leisi alayu? The Rambam thinks that when the Gemara said, weakening the enemy, in order to prevent them from attacking, the Rambam is quoting that and saying it's a Muhammad's mitzvah. The Rabbi Yehuda, the problem is, why would he paskin like Rabbi Yehuda against the Chachamim? The Chachamim seem to assume that was a Muhammad's reshus, not a Muhammad's mitzvah. So the Achronim grapple with this, and they give different tirutzim. So we're not going to focus on this, but just so you're aware, the Rav Soloveitchik, in his drasha called Dodido Fake, quotes from his grandfather, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, very interesting teretz. I'm sure you've heard this in a different context. But he assumes that Ezras Yisrael Miyatzar Shebaleim is referring to the following. Even though the nation of Amalek may no longer exist, right? Just like the Shiva Amim don't no longer exist, the nation of Amalek doesn't exist, but the halachic category of Amalek may apply to a nation that isn't technically a descendant of Amalek. Meaning, Amalek is, according to Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, the Rav's grandfather, Amalek is really any nation that has a desire to destroy Klal Yisrael. That's why they thought the Nazis, the Germans, under the Nazi rulership, had the status of Amalek because they had a desire to destroy the Jewish people, and they had the status of Amalek. So maybe that's what the Rambam's referring to. Milchamas Amalek means bona fide Amalek, and Ezras Yisrael Miyatzar Shebaleim is not referring to the Gemara's category of Lemute of the Kochavim do Lolesi Alayu, because we assume weakening the enemy to prevent attack may be on Machamas Rishus. What the Rambam is referring to is any nation which has this quasi status of Amalek, that waging war against them, making a battle against them, that is considered a Muhammad's mitzvah. That's what Rav Soloveitchik writes in Kol Dodi Dofek. But that's his pshat. But the simple read of the Rambam, and what seems to emerge from the Rambam in the Perish Mishnayos and the comment of the Meiri, is the Rambam seems to be differentiating between a preemptive strike against the enemy to weaken them, versus when the enemy is already attacked and you're defending yourself against the enemy. A preemptive attack to weaken the enemy, to prevent a battle, to prevent an attack in the future, that's considered a Milchamas Rishus. However, if the enemy has already attacked, Lashon the Rambam, Ezras Yisrael Miyatzar Sheba Aleihem, the enemy has already started their war, so in order to defend yourself, Klal Yisrael, in order for Klal Yisrael to defend itself, that is considered a Milchamas Mitzvah. That seems to be the simple shot in the Rambam. Yeah.
Well, would you break up between different battles? Or, like you're saying, let's say it's a six-day war, would you break up each battle what they were for? Or you say it's one war, it's all one
I think
one.
We assume the war. We don't follow the battle. We assume that we look at the war as a whole. Yeah, what were you going
to
say?
No, I said it seems to be pretty clear. The Gemara says,
exactly.
And the Rambam says
exactly. And if you look at the Lashon of the Meiri in source 4, the Meiri says as follows: Ein motzin al milchamas rishus. What's a milchamas rishus? Rotz olam lechol hamilchamas she'inan lichbosh Eretz Yisrael. If it's not to conquer Eretz Yisrael, v'hi milchamas shiva amimim, o milchamas amalek. Oh, says the Meiri, Shabo ha'oivim al Yisrael me'ezet tzad shekol eila milchamas mitzvah. If the enemy has attacked Klal Yisrael, the Eretz Yisrael, from any direction, that is categorized as a milchamas mitzvah. However, says the Meiri in a few, Velshar milchamas shehu osa me'atim u'misad ratzon okas oyev olo harchavas gulo, if you're doing it as a preemptive measure to prevent the enemy from attacking, that is going to be considered a milchamas rishos. Now, obviously, let's say when it came to the Six-Day War, when the State of Israel made a preemptive strike against Egypt and the various neighboring nations, so I don't think that would have been categorized as a Milchamas Rishus, because when the attack is imminent and all signals are that the enemy is about to strike, so that's a preemptive strike could be categorized as really self-defense, right? You're just, you know, it's a good strategy to make a preemptive strike, and but in the name of self-defense, if they're about to attack, I don't think the Rambam would have categorized that as a Melchamas Rishos. That was probably a Melchamas Mitzvah. But either way, that's probably the Pashup Shan the Rambam. Now, where does the Rambam get that from? So as Asher pointed out, it may be Meduik in the Rambam in the Lashon of the Gemara in Sota. However, the Talmud Yushalmi is really explicit. If you take a look in Source 6, Yushalmi says as follows, Rabbi Yehuda Hayakari Melchamas Rishos Kegon Anan Da Azlinan Alayhu. Rabbi Yehuda would call a Melchamas Rishos when we go against them, meaning a preemptive strike to weaken the enemy, to show our strength so that they're scared to attack us, that's considered a Melchamas Rishus. However, Melchamas Chova, Kegon, the Asian Inun, Alinan. If they're coming against us and we're going to defend ourselves, that's going to be considered Melchamas Chova, so that seems to be Melchamas Mitzvah, that seems to be explicit like this read in the Rambam. Now, what emerges from this is that any war of self-defense is categorized as a Milchamas Mitzvah. It's not just the mitzvah of defending yourself and defending another Jew. Like, there's a mitzvah of Lo Samad Al Dam Riecha, right? Lo Samad Al Dam Riecha, that you're supposed to protect your fellow Jew and also to protect yourself, Pikuach Nefesh, right? So you may have thought to say that any war, which is just in self-defense, is a fulfillment of Pikuach Nefesh, Lo Samad Al Dam Riecha. What you see from these sources is that's a bona fide Milchamas Mitzvah, right? Who cares? What's the nafkamina? Whether it's a mitzvah of Lo Samad Al Dam Riecha to defend yourself and to defend your nation versus whether it's a Milchamas Mitzvah. So obviously,
Chovah and Mitzvah, we're assuming the same.
Yeah. So as Yechiel pointed out, in the Gemara there may be a difference in terms of the Tanaim, whether there's a difference between Melchamas Chovah and Melchamas Mitzvah. But since we pass in like the Chachamim, we really have two categories. We have a Melchamas Rishus and a Melchamas Mitzvah. That's the opinion of the Chacham. Rabbi Yehuda holds that there's a category of Melchamas Chovah. We're not focusing on the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda for now. So one of the nafkaminas of it being a Melchamas Mitzvah is obviously the idea of drafting everyone, right? If it's a mitzvah of Lo Samad Al Dam Riecha, we can't force anyone to do the mitzvah of Lo Samad Al Dam Riecha. Once it's categorized as a Melchamas Mitzvah, like the Mishnah says, we're allowed to draft people and we're allowed to take everyone. That sounds like even Chasa Mechutasa, what?
Even declaring a war.
Even declaring a war, exactly. That's one idea.
In terms of killing, right? You turn the role of the giver in, right? Where you declare a war, you're allowed to go out and kill as opposed to having to wait to be in a life-threatening situation.
For sure. But what we're saying is that even when it's in a life-threatening situation, let's say the enemy is already in the country and they're attacking.
But again, in terms of a war, right? Mm-hmm. The casualties of war is an unfortunate, necessary thing, right? So, luckily, right? If you're attacking someone like we do now, right? You drop a bomb and you kill the kids of somebody in a war situation, that may be a lot more okay. Whereas
excellent. True. Also, so exactly what Yechiel is pointing out, this is a big, major discussion, but there seem to be sources which indicate, there's, I think, a Yerushalmi in Maseches Kiddushin that Tosfos in Avodah Zarah quotes, and there's sources in Tanakh which indicate that when it comes to casualties, I know the IDF is very didactic in terms of trying to avoid civilian casualties, but technically speaking, when it's a Melchamas Mitzvah, you don't have to be as medactic when it comes to civilian casualties. But if it were just a regular mitzvah of Lo Samad Al Dam Riecha, then you would have to be, you'd only be able to do the bare bone minimum, which is necessary to save life. Also the idea, the flip side, of risking one's life. Right? Normally, we assume that a person is not allowed to put themselves into a situation of danger. Right? You're not allowed to be misakein yourself. Now, there's a major discussion in the postgame whether you're allowed to put yourself into any danger in order to save another Jew. I think we discussed this in one of these chaburas a long time ago. Are you allowed to put yourself into a situation of safek sakana in order to save your friend from a vadai sakana? So that's a major discussion in the postgame, but that's only if we're coming from the angle of lo samar al dam riecha, now for the mitzvah of saving another Jew, are you allowed to put yourself into any element of danger in order to save another Jew? However, the Minchas Chinuch has a famous chiddush that he thinks when it comes to a milchama, in the context of a milchama, there's no concept of safek pikuach nefesh, meaning a person is allowed to risk their life, and a person maybe is mitzvah to risk their life in the context of a milchama. So we don't use the same shikulim, the same considerations as we do when it comes to the mitzvah lo samar dam riecha, as we would when it comes to milchama. And the soldiers and the people involved in the battle would have to put their lives on the line, even though, technically speaking, from the angle of lo samar dam riecha, they would not necessarily have to or be allowed to. So that is one difference between it being a milchama versus the mitzvah of lo samar al dam riecha. Okay. Another possible reason why the milchamos of defending Medinas Yisrael would be considered a milchamos mitzvah, aside for the idea of of defending, of self-defense, is the famous Ramban. Are you going to say something?
I had a question on the Minchas Chinuch. I know, but it's on the topic of this year. So.
Yeah, what's the question?
What's the svara for that chiddush? What does he say?
He thinks that by definition, once the Torah has an institution of milchama, milchamas rishus and milchamas mitzvah, so by definition, it entails risking one's life in order to win the battle. The Torah wouldn't have people
running away.
Exactly. So
it undermines war.
Right. Exactly. So there are people. There are certain people who question this, the Minchas Chinuch, but I think the Minchas Chinuch is the mainstream assumption that when it comes to milchama, by definition, the Torah is being matir the idea of putting yourself into a situation of sakana in order to win the war. Yeah. Fine. So then there's a famous shita of the Ramban. The Ramban writes this in two places. The Ramban in his Hasagos, in the Sefer HaMitzvos. He thinks that the Rambam forgot the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael and conquering Eretz Yisrael. And the Ramban writes it in his Pirush al HaTorah. The Ramban is of the opinion that there's a mitzvah, A, to conquer Eretz Yisrael, and B, to live in Eretz Yisrael, to settle Eretz Yisrael. That's the shita of the Ramban. And the Rambam doesn't quote this as a mitzvah. Now, there's a major discussion. Why doesn't the Rambam quote this as a mitzvah? Does the Rambam not hold it as a mitzvah? Does the Rambam think it's subsumed under a different mitzvah? Big discussion in the Nosei Kalim, the Mefarshim, and the Rambam, what exactly the Rambam argues with on the Ramban. But let's assume, like the Ramban for now, that there's a mitzvah to conquer Eretz Yisrael and to settle Eretz Yisrael. So the Dvar Yoshua has a tshuva. Dvar Yoshua was his name was Rabbi Yoshua Ehrenberg. He was one of the Dayanim in Belz. Not in Belz in Belz, I think Belz in Eretz Yisrael. So he has very strong tshuvos called Dvar Yoshua. And he was asked whether the practice of land for peace is permitted or recommended al pi halacha. So he has a major discussion of many of the sources that we've been discussing up until now. And he suggests in his long discussion, based on this Ramban, that there's a mitzvah to conquer Eretz Yisrael and to settle Eretz Yisrael, then obviously it would make sense that it's a Muhammad's mitzvah to conquer Eretz Yisrael and settle Eretz Yisrael. So he argues, if that's the case, certainly you should have to wage a war in order to defend the land and not give up the land. Meaning, if there's a mitzvah to wage war to conquer a land of Eretz Yisrael that you have yet to conquer, certainly there would be a mitzvah to wage a war in order to keep and protect the land that you've already conquered. He has a long discussion. That's his conclusion. He thinks that you're not allowed to give up land for peace. That's a big machlokas. But he assumes, based on this Ramban, that according to the Ramban, that there's a mitzvah to conquer and to settle Eretz Yisrael. So any war, any battle, which the intention is either to conquer more parts of Eretz Yisrael or to defend parts of Eretz Yisrael from giving it up, that is branded as a milchamas mitzvah, and all of the halachos of milchamas mitzvah will apply. Now, the question is, what are some of the halachos of milchamas mitzvah? What are some of the differences between a milchamas mitzvah and a milchamas rishus?
Well, we have from the Mishnah.
Oh, so we have from the Mishnah.
Can we drop everyone?
Exactly. So we'll come back to that in a moment. But that's the most obvious one. What was that?
Can you
chaser? Yes. That's even by Muhammad's Rosh Hashanah. That's even by Muhammad's Rosh Hashanah.
People can't opt out. People cannot opt out.
People cannot opt out. Exactly. So the Mishnah's halachos of who we're going to draft. We'll come back to that in a moment. But there is a Mishnah in Masechta Sanhedrin where the Mishnah Masechta Sanhedrin says that when it comes to a Milchamas Rishus, the king, who is the one who leads the battles, he has to ask the Sanhedrin for permission. The Sanhedrin needs to give permission for the king to go out to battle when it's a Milchamas Rishus. However, when it's a Milchamas Mitzvah, the king is allowed to go out to battle without taking rishus from the Sanhedrin. That is the Mishnah in Masechta Sanhedrin. And the Rambam quotes that here in Source 8 in Perakei, Halacha Beis in Hilchas Melachim. The Rambam writes, Milchamas Mitzvah, Eino Tzarach Litol Bo Rishus Beisin, Ela Yotze Me'atzmo B'choleis. The king is allowed to go out at any time. V'kofe Ha'am Lotzeis. The king is only allowed to go out to battle with the permission of the Sanhedrin Hagadol, the Beis Din Shel Shivim Ve'echad. So now, what seems to emerge from the Rambam is that who is the one who is allowed to start a war? Who is the person who is allowed to initiate a war? The Melech, right. So, is that Bedafka? Do you need a king in order to initiate a war, even if it's a Milchamas Mitzvah? So this is a big discussion, whether the Rambam means it's Bedafka.
Whether you can even go to war?
Yeah, maybe you can't initiate a Milchamas Mitzvah. Now, of course, Pikuach Nefesh, you're allowed to defend yourself, but in terms of declaring a Milchamas Mitzvah and all the halachos that go along with it, like we'll discuss drafting people. Who else has the power? So that's a good question. So there are those who say, no, the Rambam is lav dafka, you don't really need a melech. But there are those who say that, no, you need a melech. So for those who say, you need a melech, how can we have a Milchamas Mitzvah b'zman hazeh? So Rav Kook has a famous tshuva, and his tshuva is called Mishpat Kohen, where he argues, and we're not going to get into the various rayos that he brings, but just to be familiar, to be aware, he argues that a democratically elected government, which is supposed to represent Klal Yisrael, the people, has the status to a certain extent as a melech. To a certain extent, with respect to certain rights that the king has, and certain kochos that the king has, an elected government which represents the majority of Klal Yisrael, the people, has the right to declare a war. So he's actually speaking about this. Obviously, that was pre-state with Cook, but he was arguing that if you theoretically would have a Jewish government which represents the Jewish people in the land of Israel, they actually are allowed to declare a Milchamas Mitzvah. So, well, then they may have the status of a melech. Then they may have the status of a melech, even a melech Yisrael. But he's saying even a democratic, as long as they're representing the people, that's the point. As long as they're representing Klal Yisrael, they have the right to unilaterally declare a Milchamas Mitzvah, and we'll be allowed to go ahead and draft people and all the various halachos of Milchamas Mitzvah. So, right, so Bizman is that you can't have Milchamas Rishus because you need a Sanhedrin. No one's going
to
argue with that.
So you have to say, Milchamas state either, I want to be usher for him to do it. The other Shiva is Muhammad's Mishnah, which you drafted. You never say, oh, the Muhammad's are Rishus. No way you can say that.
Correct. Meaning, so let's say the state of Israel wants to expand into, let's say, something that's definitely not part of biblical Eretz Yisrael. They want to extend into Iraq, whatever it is. So they wouldn't be able to do that. They wouldn't, I mean, maybe in self-defense, obviously, but not in terms of expanding the borders of Eretz Yisrael. That would be a Milchamas Rishus, and they wouldn't be able to do that bizman hazeh without without the Rishus of the Sanhedrin, the Beis Din Shel Shivim Ve'echad.
Milchamas
Mitzvah, for sure.
All the draft,
for sure. Okay. Okay. So let's get to some of that discussion. So we said beforehand that one of the nafkaminas of Melchamas Mitzvah is that we draft all the people, even the people that are exempt from Melchamas Rishus, we are going to draft them to a Melchamas Mitzvah. So who did the Mishnah say as the extreme example? Afilu chasan mechedro, the kala mechupasa. So the question is, what's the status of women when it comes to Melchamas Mitzvah? Do we draft women when it comes to Melchamas Mitzvah? So you may say, it's enough in a Mishnah. The Mishnah says that we take the kala from her chuppah out to war if it's a Melchamas Mitzvah. The problem is that the Sefer HaChinuch in a bunch of mitzvos, here's one in Source 9, when he's discussing the various mitzvos that relate to Milchama, the Sefer HaChinuch writes, V'noheges mitzvah zu b'zacharim, ki lahem lihilachim b'zman sheYisrael al ad masun. Says the Sefer HaChinuch that all the mitzvos, he says it a few times, this is just one example, that all the mitzvos that pertain to battle only applies to men, because they're the ones who are going out to war. Also, the Sefer HaChinuch has a famous comment, the famous psak, where he thinks that women are exempt from Parsha Zachor. Why? Because since Parsha Zachor, he thinks the whole purpose is so that we remember to do battle with Amalek, and only men, he assumes, are obligated to do battle with Amalek. So Mimela, only men are going to be obligated in reading Parsha Zachor. That's the famous psak of the Sefer HaChinuch. And the Minchas Chinuch asks on the Sefer HaChinuch, I don't understand, what are you talking about? It's against enough in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says explicitly that Afilu kala michupasa, when it comes to a Melchamas Mitzvah, we're going to draft a woman. So you see that women are obligated in Melchamas Mitzvah. So how can the Sefer HaChinuch say something which is against an explicit Mishnah? Everyone hear the kasha?
Yeah.
Any thoughts?
Get the other jobs, right? Yeah. Get the other job. The commercial had earlier, the husband has to do, right, dig the ditches or something.
Okay, very good, very good. So the Rashash already, the Rashash on the Mishnah over here in the Maseches Sotin Source 10 says, Mashma, in the middle of the first line, Mashma, the gav nashim yotzus l'melchamas v'chidashu. He says, it sounds like from the Mishnah that even women go out to war. V'ulai, he says, perhaps, it's on Source 10, Einan yotzos ela levashel v'le'afos v'chadome letzoach ha'gvarim anshe melchama. Says the Rashash, it could be that when the Mishnah says that we take a kala mechupasa, what the Mishnah means is the women get involved in the battle effort, in the war effort. They start cooking, you know, they get involved in the Red Cross and making sure that the male soldiers have what to eat and have their needs in order for them to be able to go out to battle. But the women wouldn't actually go out to battle. They would prepare and help the war effort from home. But they wouldn't actually go out to war. That's what the Rashash suggests. And if you take a look in Source 11, the Radvaz has the same question. And the Radvaz gives two tirutim. One of them is similar to the Rashash, but he has a very interesting read of the Mishnah. Take a look in Source 11. He says, Ela dekashe v'chi derech hanashim lasos melchama dekasani v'kala michopasa v'aksiv kol kvuda bas melech penima. So he's bothered. How could it be that the Torah would mandate women to go out to war? It goes against the principle called Bas Melech Penima, that we assume that it's more tsanua for women to not be out in the public arena. So how could it be that they're supposed to go out to war? So we suggest two teirutzim. The Eish Lomar, fascinating read of the Mishnah, the Hachik Amar. Kevan de Chasan Yotze Mechedro. Since the chasan is going to leave his cheder with his wife, meaning he's going to go out to war, memela kala yotze mechupasa she'ino noheges yimechupa. What it means to say is not that we're going to draft the kala. It's just since her chasan is going to war, she's going to leave the chuppah.
Like
she's
not going.
Exactly. She's not going to go to battle. She just doesn't have a chasan because her chasan went to battle. Now the kala is okay. I'm not going to stay it with shavu brachos. There's no shavu brachos. There's no chasan. So she's going to go home. She's going to go to her father's house. But that's what it means. Afilu kala mechupasa. Just because her chasan went out to battle, she's not going to have anyone to be with. But not that we're actually going to draft the kala. That's the Radvaz's first shot. Then he says, "Ve'efshar," very similar to the Rashash, the Bemelchamas Mitzvah Hanashim Hayimisaklos Mayim Umazon Baalayin. The women would provide water and food for their husbands. V'chein Haminag Hayom Ba'aravios. He says, amongst the practice of the Arab women, is that also they would support their husbands when they were out to battle. They would make sure they have what they need. So maybe that's what the Mishnah means when it says afilu kala michupasa, that we're going to not that they're going to draft women to go out to battle. Rather, they're going to help the war effort from home by providing for their husbands. Now, the problem is that the Rambam, in his Sefer HaMitzvos, in the Hagdamah to Leminyan HaMitzvos, in source 12, seems to take the Mishnah Kipshuta. Says the Rambam, V'yadua, she'ein hanashim danach lomidos. The women, we know women don't judge and they don't testify. V'lo machkrivos korban b'yadehen. They don't sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash. V'lo nilchamos b'milchamas rishus. They don't go out to battle, they don't wage war in the Milchamas Rishos. So what's the obvious diak in the Rambam?
Mitzvah they would.
But a Milchamas Mitzvah they would. So how could it be? How could it be? So maybe the Rambam holds, like the simple read of the Mishnah, that actually we draft women to battle in the context of a Milchamas Mitzvah. So what's the problem? What's the problem with this? The Ravaz didn't ask this question, the Rashash didn't ask this question. What, you guys who learned Maseches Nazir should be asking this question. The Gemara Maseches Nazir said that the when the Torah says, Lo Silbash, Lo Yilbash Gever Simlos Isha, Lo Silbash, what's the Lashon of the Pasuk? The Lashon of that, Lo Yilbash Gever Simlos Isha, and the woman should not wear Beged Ish, what's it called? What's the Lashon of the Pasuk? Well, Silbash, and whatever the Lashon of the Pasuk is, that a woman shouldn't wear men's clothing. So what did the Gemara Nazir, how did the Gemara Nazir interpret that? That she shouldn't wear battle clothing. She shouldn't carry a weapon. Meaning, it's a violation of the Isser of Beged Ish for a woman to wear army clothing, to carry a weapon. At least carry a weapon. So how could it be that you can draft women to the actual battle? Meaning, if they're just going to help the war effort at home, fine. Shalom Yisrael, there's no problem with that, maybe. But if they're going to actually go out to battle and carry a weapon, that's going to be a violation of the halacha of Beged Ish. It's not necessarily be'idna.
Uh-huh.
It's not necessarily be'idna for Asi Dechalos to say everything has to be happening at the same time. She's going to be putting on the... Interesting. I'm not sure. Okay, could be. What?
There's new rules of engagement.
Right. It's like the Memphis Sakana.
Okay, so you're saying...
a woman doing it, that can be a man. It's a sort of...
Interesting. Okay, interesting suggestion.
And also, I think it was smart enough to talk about whether or not... also another talks about whether or not men can shave certain parts of their
right, yeah.
And then it says that if it's the norm for men to do that,
right.
So it's also that halacha of Begadisha changes whether it's.
So you're saying maybe in the context of the Milchamas Mitzvah that's the norm and therefore it's not necessarily interesting suggestion. Okay, I hear that.
I'm looking like a base alcohol, bro.
So very good. So excellent. So there are those who suggest that what the Rambam's talking about is, of course, she's going in her uniform. She's not in her Beis Yaakov uniform. She's not going out. She's not carrying a gun, and she's not, maybe the Rambam says, like the Rashash and the Radvaz, that she'll be helping the war effort by providing food and taking care. You know, she's working in the infirmary. She's a nurse for the wounded soldiers. Maybe that's what the Rambam is referring to. Or maybe she's doing some battle without carrying any weapons. That's what some Achronim suggest. But I hear what you guys are suggesting. But either way, this was obviously a tremendous, tremendous machlokas in the beginning of the State of Israel in the 50s. It was known as the Pulmus of Gius Habanos, right? The issue of drafting women to the army. And the Chazon Ish was, for the most of his life, was a very hidden person. When the Chazon Ish was in Europe, no one knew who he was. Only the Yechidei Skula, the Gedolei Ador, were privy to to being knowing who the Chaznish was and his godless, or Chaim Moshe Grudzinski knew who the Chaznish was, but most people never heard of the Chaznish until he came to Eretz Yisrael at the end of his life. And Mamish at the end of his life, when he got involved in public affairs, especially when it came to Gius Habanus. There's a 5-volume biography of the Chaznish called Pe'er Hador. It's probably the most authoritative biography of the Chaznish. And the 5th volume is dedicated completely to the Chaznish's approach and his complete rejection of the idea of drafting women to the army. He was against the idea. Not only they scaled it back and they said, okay, we're not going to draft them to the war effort, but maybe Sheru Lumi. He was against that also. Some post were for that. He was against that. So some of the sources that he quotes is the Gemara Maseches Nazir that they're not supposed to carry weapons. It's Begadish. Also, it's not Sneas called Gvud of Pastanel Pnima, like the Radvaz quoted. That was a major issue in the 50s. But either way, some of these sources are very relevant for that discussion. What was that?
They also negotiated the Shiva don't have to go to the army either.
For sure. So, what time is it?
24.
Okay, so there's also a major discussion in terms of the yeshiva students. So where does that come from? Where does that come from?
Whether they're jumping taxes and
so that's one of that's part of the story. So the first discussion is the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel has a discussion about Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi. So the Rambam writes that Shevet Levi was exempt. Seems to say that Shevet Levi did not go out to war. They did not take part in the spoils of war, and they didn't go out to war. And Shevet Levi was not given a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. We know that the Levim were limited to the Ari Miklat, and the Kohanim were scattered around, but they weren't given an actual chelik in Eretz Yisrael. And the Rambam says, because of that, we have all of the various matanos that we give to the Kohanim and Levim to make sure that they have what to support themselves. Then the Rambam has his famous comment where he thinks that not only is Shevet Levi allowed to completely remove themselves from communal affairs and working and just sit and learn, anyone can choose to be part of Shevet Levi, right? The famous comment of the Rambam that anyone can choose to completely dedicate themselves to Talmud Torah and Avodas Hashem and not work. And they would be, they're entitled to be supported by the community. That's a famous comment of the Rambam. So now, what the Poskim discuss is when the Rambam exempts Shevet Levi from war, what's he talking about? Is he talking about Mechamas Rishus? Or he's talking about Mechamas Mitzvah? And also, when the Rambam extends the concept of Shevet Levi to anyone who decides to completely dedicate themselves to Talmud Torah, is that also... does that also include the war exemption? Or is that only the idea of being supported by the community? Right? So there's 2 questions. One is in terms of Shevet Levi, whether they're exempt from Milchamas Mitzvah. And even if Shevet Levi is exempt from Milchamas Mitzvah, the extension of Shevet Levi, with the Rambam thinks that anyone who decides to completely commit themselves to Talmud Torah, do they also have the exemption from war, even from a Milchamas Mitzvah? So that's one question. That's one discussion in terms of yeshiva students, Bizman Hazeh.
But theoretically, you could have no army, if that's the case.
Meaning, Correct. But it's a question, even if forgetting the army issue. If you have a nation which is all, they're all learning, and no one... Forget the war. I'm saying no one's working. Who's supporting who?
Okay, so no one's working also.
Right. Which is happening in B'nai Brak. Yeah. I mean, not so much anymore, but that's why the system is almost unsustainable, because if you have so many people who are learning and no one working, so who's going to pay the people who are learning? Obviously, the Torah, at least according to Rabbi Shmuel, believes in certain people, completely dedicating themselves to Talmud Torah, and certain people working and helping support the people who are dedicating themselves to Talmud Torah. There has to be some model like that. Either way. So that's one discussion. The other discussion is like what Evan just pointed out. The Gemara Maseches Bava Basra says that Talmidei Chachamim do not have to pay the taxes to the city, which are supposed to be used for self-defense. They don't have to pay. The Gemara says, Rabbanan lo tzricha nitirusa. The Rabbanan don't have to pay. They don't need any defense. Their Torah protects them, and therefore they don't have to pay the tax, which is designated for defense for the security of the city. So there are those who say, oh, Rabbanan lo tzrichin et Yerusa. So since they don't have to, they can just sit and their Torah protects them, they don't have to engage in battle as well. That's questionable, a questionable application of this idea to whether they're chayev or pater from milchamas mitzvah. But those are the two sugyas that are relevant in terms of the status of bnei yeshivas bezman hazeh when it comes to milchamas mitzvah. So but these are some of the, yeah.
Assuming they are chayev.
Yeah.
To be sitting in the army and training. To go into the army, if you're not fighting, there's no milchamas mitzvah, I'm assuming, right? Meaning, on a regular Tuesday, the tzahal is not fighting. There's no din of milchamas mitzvah at that point in time. Is that correct?
Could be. I mean, it could be that they're in a constant state of milchamas mitzvah because, you know, yeah, there are those who argue that we've been in a perpetual milchamas mitzvah since the Yom HaTzmut, since the.
That's why politically. That's why they agreed to Chazish's term, because at the end of the day, they didn't really need any army anyway. So they're like, we only 10,000 Yeshiva students. We haven't right. Really army without you.
But if we
because there weren't so many of them. Now there's so many of them. It would help.
If we were to assume that they're not chayev, that it's not a milchamas mitzvah, and they're not chayev unless it's a milchamas mitzvah.
Correct.
Is there any? You can't just walk into an army one day. Meaning, is there any chiyuv for them to be trained because they would have no idea what to do if they stepped into?
Good question.
In the event.
Good question.
Of,
good question. I don't know. Good question. Good question. Okay, so see, there's some of the marmakomas about milchamas mitzvah, milchamas rishus, and how it applies bizman hazeh.
Thank you. So, why is it a kosher food?